Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
The police will remove that man. There will be no outbursts allowed in this committee, either for or against the nominee.
There is a strong tradition of social justice in the Catholic Church that had a profound influence on me.
He'll try to reach common ground on issues they both agree on, not on issues important to the Catholic Church, such as the life issues and embryonic stem cell research and the family.
The great Western heresy that we can be saved as individuals. That any of us alone can be in right relationship with God.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, we have a great privilege in our nation to not only be able to freely exercise our religious beliefs, to worship as we wish, where we wish, to believe as we wish, and to profess publicly as we wish, but also We have the privilege common to all citizens, and that is to interact with our government. What does it mean when a government says officially, "In God we trust"? Well, it certainly can't mean as much as the church when they speak those words. And yet we have a country where we will say we are one nation under God. That is deep within our psyche and deep within the way we think about ourselves as Americans. And as much as we Christians cry about the secularization of America, we still open every daily session of our legislatures at the national level with prayer. Not always a Christian prayer, but with prayer. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll begin with a conversation with Pastor Sean Kumm about his opening prayer before the U.S. House of Representatives. We'll talk with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about whether or not cohabitation is good for marriage. It tends to lead to divorce, at least what some recent surveys are telling us. And then we'll do a sermon review of a sermon on evangelism by Pastor Will Whedon a little later. It's Wednesday afternoon, July the 15th. 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor Sean Kumm is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Laramie, Wyoming. He served as a guest chaplain to the U.S. House of Representatives late last month. Sean, welcome.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be here.
I imagine that is an intimidating few minutes to stand before the opening of a morning session of the House of Representatives.
I suppose it would seem so, and when I was asked about that, I responded, you know, it wasn't quite as intimidating as I thought, partly because there weren't many people there. Congress, when it's called into session, doesn't necessarily mean the congressmen are gathered in the House of Representatives, although I was very much aware and had been told that the business of the day is piped into their offices, so that if they need to be there for a vote, they will be there. But I think I counted about 25 people in the gallery and on the floor of the House at the time.
How did the invitation come to you?
That's a very good question. A couple members of my congregation attended a town hall meeting with our U.S. Representative, Cynthia Lummis, and had inquired how one might get their pastor invited or have him able to offer the opening prayer for the House of Representatives. She is newly elected to that office, and so she said her staff would get back to them. And how this comes about then is that one's representative nominates a pastor to the House of Representatives chaplain's office. And it is purely at the discretion of the chaplain's office to accept or reject that request reasons given. And so the leadership of my congregation formally asked Cynthia Lummis's office to consider me, and then she passed her office, passed that on to the chaplain's office, Reverend Daniel Coughlin's office, and the chaplain's office responded to me then by a letter of invitation to come and be the guest prayer for that day.
Did you ever contemplate not doing this?
Yeah, about 30 seconds before before it all started. Just because, well, and actually I had thoughts of that, just in terms of the weightiness. And there's probably no surprise in the Missouri Synod that the last 8 years have focused the whole attention of prayer and what is said in prayer in the public forum. And it's really has come under scrutiny, and I think rightly so. But it certainly made me very conscious that every word that I chose and every word that I said was going to have to bear very clear witness to the God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that I confess and that my church body confesses, and that it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do so.
Were any explicit restrictions put on what you could or couldn't say?
That's an excellent question. The chaplain's office did send me some instructions. The first statement from them was the guest chaplain is to keep in mind that the House of Representatives is comprised of many different faith traditions. That's just a statement that didn't prohibit me from confessing the triune God. I didn't feel that it prohibited me anyway or that I needed to pray somehow generically. Perhaps the hardest part was that I was limited to 150 words.
And that's as bad as Twitter.
Yeah. Yes. And so being limited to 150 words, and you know this, that's about a minute's worth. And so every word that I had to consider was going to have to be an important one. I am thankful that Word is able to count words. And so I got it down to 149. I thought that was a fair amount. I didn't want to go too low and miss opportunity of saying something, but I didn't know what would happen if I went over either, so I figured I better be safe and go right under the bar with 149, including the amen.
Did you have to submit the text of this prayer in advance to the chaplain's office for approval?
Yes, I did. I was asked to submit it at least 2 weeks in advance, and there are a couple reasons for that. I'm not sure if they would have edited or not. They did not edit my prayer. They accepted it as I submitted it to them. But it also is to be submitted in advance so that it can be included in the congressional record. Also, one of the things that was a parameter given to me is that it was to be free from any personal political views or partisan politics. And it was to be free from any sectarian controversies, which made me smile a little bit because I wasn't going to condemn the Baptists for not baptizing infants or the Roman Catholics for a belief in transubstantiation or something like that. I would find that odd anyway to bring into a prayer, but perhaps it's happened before, or I'm not sure. And then there wasn't supposed to be anything pertaining to foreign or domestic policy.
Interesting.
Yes. So you're not supposed to reference, you know, anything that's out there in terms of, I don't know, disarmament or foreign policy in a particular nation. And it was supposed to be in English. That wasn't a problem for me. And it was not supposed to reference any national days of observance from any other nation. So no Bastille Day mentioned or any other foreign holiday. It was to be referenced in the prayer.
Okay, so keep it American, in other words.
Yes, and keep it within our shores, and keep it focused on what goes on here in our concerns of our nation. And that was fair enough. I really didn't think those were unfair.
Real quickly, two final questions.
Mm-hmm.
What would have been a deal breaker for you? What would the chaplain's office of the U.S. House of Representatives had to have said to you by way of restriction that would have said, no, I guess I can't go pray to open the session?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And for me, I was very explicit and intent on referencing the Holy Trinity in the prayer. It was going to be prayed to the Father, and I ended it giving a praise and thanks also with the Son and the Holy Spirit. And if I had had to constrain myself from recognizing the triune God whom I confess, that would have been a deal breaker for me. I just couldn't pray a generic prayer.
Are you glad you did it?
Yes, I am. It was a chance of a lifetime, and it was, I think, an opportunity to bear witness not only to our triune God, and really some first article and fourth petition matters, but also to reflect on the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and that we can stand in the public forum, and when appropriately asked, and pray appropriately in ways that are known to us and in the language that we Lutherans certainly enjoy.
So with only about 10 seconds, what did you do the rest of your time in D.C.?
Did some sightseeing. I took my 14-year-old daughter with me, and we walked our legs off. And that's what we did the rest of the time.
Pastor Sean Cumm is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Laramie, Wyoming. He served as a guest chaplain to the U.S. House of Representatives late last month. Sean, thank you very much. Give our best to the Gabriels, by the way.
I will certainly do that, Todd.
All right. Thank you. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse. There's a new survey on cohabitation. No surprises here. Although it's interesting, the press is covering this news that if you cohabit, you're more likely to divorce as kind of a bash on marriage. They're saying, well, the real problem is that these cohabiting couples end up marrying, and that leads to divorce. Well, marriage doesn't lead to divorce. It may be a causal prerequisite, but perhaps cohabitation before marriage has more to do with the end of divorce in this case. We'll see what Jennifer Roback-Morse thinks about that on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
The sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.